wanting to enjoy the church and not being able to. So I'm very happy I have a very good excuse now not to run off to I know we did a lot of praying, but let's quickly close our eyes once more. Bless the Lord, O our soul. Bless His holy name. Worship His holy name. Father, this morning it is the greatest joy to be here. Father, we worship You. And God, this morning we just want to say it is all only about You and what You want to do and how You want to do it and when You want to do it. And Father, our prayer this morning is may we know, may we understand, may we see, may we hear, and may we do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is great to see everybody. It is a great joy to be in the house of the Lord. The name of my sermon, the title of the sermon this morning is Koinonia. Who of you know the word? I think a lot of us will. The word koinonia means fellowship. And that is what I want to speak about this morning. I want to start by reading a scripture from 1 John 1. 1 John 1, verse 3 to 7. This is the Apostle John that is speaking here. It's not always Paul speaking. Sometimes it's other people as well. This time it's John. And it says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. He's referring here to Jesus. And then he says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's something interesting here. John says to them, we know Jesus. Now, when John and Peter and those men who were the disciples of Jesus, which Paul was not, but when they said this, we know Him, they meant we know Him in the physical. We were walking with Him. They had the privilege of knowing Jesus face to face, seeing Him every day for about 3 years. And then He says something interesting. He says that you, we proclaim this to you, telling them about Jesus. And He says, so that you may have fellowship with us. So He says, we are telling you something, and we are sharing something with you, so that you may have fellowship. And I'm going to speak about what fellowship means, but so that you may have fellowship, friendship, intimacy, many things, with us. And then He says, but our fellowship is with God. Isn't that quite interesting? He says, so that you may have fellowship with us. He says, but then our fellowship that we have, that you can have with us, is with God. That's quite interesting. And then He says, and we are writing these things, why? Why? So that your joy may be complete. God always wants everything for our joy. Did you know that? Whatever He wants for us, always, always is for our joy. Then it says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you. That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. I'm going to just pause again there. Sorry for all the interruptions. I read something in the Joyce Meyer Bible where she's making comments on some of the scriptures, and she says, whenever you come into a dark room that's been dark for a long time, and you switch the light on, what do you see? You see cobwebs, you see spiders, you see hoes and cockroaches running around. You see all the ugly things. And all these things are being exposed. But why is it good? Because now this room can be cleaned. Now it can be cleaned. So it says God is light. And I know when the light of God comes and it shines in our hearts, it shows all the cockroaches and the hoes and the cockroaches and the rota and the mice. And now it can be cleansed. And then it says, listen to this. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, if somebody says, I love God and I walk with God, but they have all these secrets in a dark room, they are lying. light and never had fellowship with each other, then that light is not the real light, because this is what the Word says. And this is what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak about the fact that if we say we walk in the light, one of the very obvious fruit that we will see is having fellowship with each other. Now, I went to Eastwood, which is a Bible on the internet, which is for free. Anybody can download it, you don't pay a thing. I went on Eastwood and I typed in the words each other or one another, and I typed a search on those, all the scriptures that contain these words, one another. And it is astounding how many scriptures in the Bible, how many says, love one another, care for one another, serve one another, bless one another, encourage one another. And then there are a couple of them, I think about four or so, I didn't count, that says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Isn't that amazing? Greet, so I want to see a lot of kissing here next week. I'm just joking, okay, that holy kiss was not actually on the mouth. And we don't have to do that. But you can kiss Brendan, you would like that with his bow member. You can kiss him on the mouth, Brendan. Program. But when we speak about the word koinonia, church lie doesn't lie in numbers. That is a very valid question to ask. Does the strength of the church lie in numbers? Now, there are many small churches in this world, there are many big churches, there are mega churches, and certainly the more we are, the more we can do. There is certainly a kind of strength in numbers. The more we are, the more we can contribute, the more we can do, the more change we can bring. That is definitely a fact. But the word says, and this is where I believe the real strength of the church lies. Why am I saying this? There are many big churches out there over the world. There are many big churches where there is no real koinonia. Many. So people come on a Sunday and they go home. They come on a Sunday, they go home, they love to go out, they love to take the family and do a good thing, go to church. And some of them will even go on a Wednesday or another day in the week, and they will have a small group and they will go home. But there is nobody in the church that they really have intimacy with. There is no real koinonia. Now, when we look at the Acts church, and I'm going to speak about that just now, we see real koinonia. But when we speak about the strength of the church, where does it lie? The word says, by this they will know me, God says, your love for each other. They will know me by your love for each other. So somebody can come into a small group, or they can come into a church meeting, and they have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they observe. And what are they looking for? Do you know what people are looking for generally when they come to church? Who can tell me? Love? People generally come to church to look for love. Some come maybe for other reasons, other people have many motives. Some people come because they believe it's the right thing to do and it will get them to heaven. Some come because tradition forces them to come. But we are not typically a church where people that are bound to tradition will come. Especially not in this town. We certainly cannot go by that. So I can safely assume nobody's here because of tradition. We are not very popular with the traditionalists in this town. So I think we can safely assume that when people come here, and when people come into our small groups, they come to find love. That is why they come. That is what the deepest need is. Now, the question this morning is, what is every single person on the face of this earth is born with the same need? And I believe this is our most basic need, apart from food and water and shelter. We need those three things. And that is unconditional love and acceptance. I was asked to speak at a school in George, in the Cape, to a bunch of matric children and their mothers, who was leaving school, and they gave me a very challenging task. They said, tell the young people something that will sustain them for the rest of their lives. And I was thinking, how do you expect me to do that? And I went to God and I said, God, these children or young adults are 18 years old. They are finishing the first section, or maybe the second section, I guess you finish the first section at age 7 and start going to big school. But they are finishing the first section of their lives and now they are entering a very difficult new season. And what do I tell them? What do I tell these young people? And I felt God said to me, look at their most basic need. What is their most basic need? Because we tend to be extremely vulnerable at when seasons change, we tend to become vulnerable and we refer back to our most basic need. And God said to me, the most basic So that brings me back to the fact that people come in here and they come into our small groups, and not just people, you and me. You and me, all of us, we came in here this morning looking for unconditional love and acceptance. And people come to church because they think, maybe I will find it there. They come to small group because they think, maybe I will find it there. And last week, Andrew was preaching about the different cultures, and there was quite a lot of conversation after that sermon. But I really believe the reason why we are so culture-bound often is because we have such a deep need to belong. We've got such a need to belong. I remember when we made a decision about Christmas. Now, I know we might not all be on the same page here, but Christmas is not a biblical festival at all. And it is not to be celebrated by born-again Christians. I'm sorry if I burst bubbles here. Forgive me. We can have another conversation on that. But I remember being with my family after we made the decision not to celebrate Christmas and not being able to change their ways, not wanting to alienate ourselves from the family because they need to know Christ. So we are there with them, sort of having to be a part of it, but not really being a part of it. And I remember I sense such a deep longing in my heart to take part in these festivals. The first couple of years, every time when we were with my family, who still celebrate Christmas, Anton's family not, so that's easy, but every year, every second year, when we are with them, I've got this deep longing to do what they do and to think like they think, even though I know it will not bring life. Because even though I know God, and even though I have a relationship with Him, there's such a need to belong. And here is the key principle. We can know God, and we can love God, and we can have communion with God every single day. We will still always need each other. Some of us get so spiritual. Now, I've seen some Christians who say, I am going to go out on the mission field and I am going to change Uganda. So we say, who is sending you out? Who is supporting you in prayer? Who is going to lift you up when you fall down? Who is going to lift your arms? Who is going to be your support system? And they say, I'll be fine. And they go, oh, in fact, they're not there. They get sick there. It ends right there, never even begins. And here's something that we need to understand, that the desire in us to belong, it's always there, it will never go away, and the Lord says, my church is the place where you belong. My church is the place where you come, and where you have koinonia. Now, what is koinonia? When we speak about that word, it refers to many things. One of the things that it refers to is intimacy. It refers to intimate friendships. Does God want us to have intimate friendships with each other? Yes, of course He does. Absolutely, He does. Not just with our husband and our children, but with each other, not men to women and women to men. Please, in the name of Jesus, not, that's not women to women and men to men, and couples to couples. Have intimate relationships. What is the difference between an intimate relationship and a shallow relationship? You know, when you have a shallow relationship, you get together for a bride. You have a bride, or you have a point of course, or you have a sandwich, or you have a pancake, and you speak about the politics, and you speak about the weather, and you speak about the sports, and you speak about the problems. When you have koinonia, you get together, and you speak about your life and my life, and what is happening in your life, and what is difficult for you, and We should invite them. We should phone them. And you become everything that you are, and everything that you do, and everything that you think becomes something for the greater good of the group. And that is liberating. And that feels good. Who of you have experienced what it feels like? Anybody here? When your own needs make space. Isn't it amazing? Can I tell you something that I did this week? I'm absolutely not trying to blow my own trumpet, I promise you. I just want to tell you what felt so good to me. I never bake children's cakes ever. I don't do it. I tried to bake a horse and it came out a dinosaur. So little Emanuela, Augustine's little 1-year-old, turned one last week. And I said, God, what did we do? She's turning one, it's such a big day. And I thought, I'm going to phone Lauren and get her to bake a cake. And then I remembered it's busy season for Lauren. Then I thought of a couple of names, and then suddenly I just found the Spirit of God said to me, you bake that cake, you do it. And I said, God, Rachel and I had a lot of conversations. We live together. She lives with us. And Rachel, she said something powerful to me on Tuesday. She said, there's something that I'm working through, and it is very difficult for me. And I said to her, are you going to share it with me? She said, no, I'm not going to share it with you. I'm going to share it with my small group. And I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to ask them to pray for me, and I'm going to ask them to walk with me. We had somebody else, and we spoke to him, and we explained some things to him, and we said to him, you go back to your small group, and you speak to your small group, and you ask them to pray for you, you ask them to walk with you, you ask them to trust with you. There's something that we must understand. There is no way that we can do it on our own. There is no way that we can live the life that God is requiring us to live on our own. If it was like that, Paul would never take the effort to write letter upon letter upon letter while he was in prison to the churches, saying, pray with me, pray for me, I'm suffering, pray for me, but while I'm suffering, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. This is koinonia. This is where we go beyond the weather and the politics, and where we enter into intimate fellowship with each other. And that intimacy means when you have a need and I can meet that need, I will certainly do so. If you run out of baby milk and you do not have money, you phone me, I will bring it to you 3 o'clock at night. Because we have koinonia, because we walk together. And this is the strength of the church. This is the fruit of the church. Now what happens? We come to small group. And let me say this. Why do I keep on speaking about small group? Because on a Sunday, yeah, we have koinonia with God. We have fellowship with God. We do it by celebrating what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we have interaction. But this is not intimacy on a personal level. This is us with God. And a little bit with each other. But we need to go out and get to know each other and understand each other. So what happens? We go to small group and something happens there. You know when we look at the life cycle, and some of us may know this before, when we look at the life cycle of a small group, it always starts with honeymoon, just like marriage. It starts with honeymoon. It is beautiful. It is glorious. There's so much harmony. There's so much peace. We get to know each other. And then comes the conflict stage. Because there's something in your personality that clashes with something in my personality. Because I am the eye of the body. All I want to do is see. But you are the foot. All you want to do is walk. So now we clash. Or you do this and I don't like it, or you say this and I don't agree. But why is this good for us? Because we will never grow. We will never grow if we cannot learn to do this thing together. Can I ask you, how many of us here are married and work together with our spouses? How many of us? Okay, few of us. Advice, I give it to you for free. If something in your life
Father, we come to you as a church.
important thing for us to understand is that we must have fellowship with you and we must have fellowship with each other. And Father, this morning we want to pray for our church, Father. We pray that our church will be known for our love that we have for each other. God, that we will be known for our relationships with each other. And God, this morning we want to lift up to you every small group in this church, Father. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will teach us how to have intimacy with each other, how to have fellowship, how to have koinonia with each other, and how to see your kingdom come when the greater group becomes more important than the individual need. When we become one, when we see that all our needs are met, physical, spiritual, emotional. I want to pray this morning. I want to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but if there is somebody here that recognizes, I am in need of this. I am standing on my own. I'm not in any small group. I'm not in any kind of relationship where I have intimacy with other people. If there isn't anybody like that, I want you to just raise your hand. We just want to pray for you. Just put up your hand quickly. Anybody here that recognizes the need? I mean, you can lower your hands. If we can all just agree with this prayer. Father, we want to pray for those who raise their hands. Father, we want to ask in the name of Jesus that you, this being exclusive from a group, being alone and trying to stand alone and walk alone, will end this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that every one of us that is here this morning and those who is a part of us who could not be here this morning, that all of us will be able to stand and say, I do understand fellowship with the saints. I do understand koinonia, and I am pursuing relationships that will lead me and us closer to God. Father, we pray, God, for every obstacle that is present here this morning. Father, fear, insecurity, bad experiences in the past, all those things, God, that keeps us away from your people. And Father, this morning we want to say, we choose to trust, Father. Father, we choose that even though when we are sometimes disappointed and hurt and disillusioned, we will come back and we will forgive and we will work through our offense and we will trust. journey to Him, and your life will change. If there is anybody here, you are more than welcome to come to the front. We will be leaving here after the service. Anybody wants to come for prayer, you are more than welcome to do so. Father, we thank you for this morning, God. Father, we thank you for giving the word that you spoke to us. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Western Cape, God. As we schedule again, we pray that you will protect them in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you will use this opportunity for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that you are our only hope. Father, as we go away from this place, God, may we be a praying people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. There is something for coffee. You are welcome there.